All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves
to the line. Hughes scores.
Yes, it deserves. Take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes, beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slay the dragon.
Hilarious existence, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic, who, by the way, will be the presenting sponsor for the Canucks Conversation throughout the regular season. Zephyr has linked it back up with us. A new contract has been signed, sealed, delivered. Zephyr Epic is going to be back supporting the Canucks Conversation, so be sure to support them. For all of your hockey cards, Pokemon cards, Magic cards. I don't think they make Digimon cards anymore, but I was a big Digimon cards fan when I was a kid. But support them, ZephyrEpic.com. ZephyrEpic.com. I spelled it out for you there. And we're also delivered by the great folks at DoorDash. Best food delivery service out there. Use promo code CONVODD. That's CONVO, capital DD. To get 25% off your first time orders and free delivery as well.
25% off.
25% off. Even better. I don't even know what I said. But Zephyr Epic, we're stoked to get them back on. Continue to be the presenting sponsor. Love working with them. And I'll be in Zephyr Epic's store in Surrey here pretty dang soon. We're going to do some videos and check out what's going on with the store and start doing some fun promotions on social. It's going to be great.
Exciting times. Exciting times.
Get my face out there a little bit instead of just on the podcast here.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I posted some pictures. Just was on vacation this past week. We'll touch on, you know, I leave for an episode and all hell hits the fan here. We'll get to that. No, it wasn't that bad. I liked your conversation with Jack Rathbone. But did a little Vancouver Island vacation. It was nice. Got to go to the island with a girlfriend and her parents came and visited. We all went to the island for a day or 3 days. Went up to Tofino. That was hell because there's one lane of traffic and it's only open between 7 and 11 in the morning. Oh. And then after 3 o'clock, and it's one lane. So like they let you go and then they like bring the other lane through. Like you're waiting there for a long time.
Wow.
And we actually got pretty lucky. We got there like just after 3 when the road was opening and our side was going through first. So we had a pretty good way coming back, but we saw the lineup and it was kilometers and kilometers long. Cause I bet like a lot of people probably don't know that it's running like that. And they were just like, oh, hey, let's go to Tofino for the day. On a Tuesday, it's a good day to go up to Tofino. Won't be crazy busy. And then they get to the spot. They're like, oh, there must be an accident or something. And they're just sitting there waiting for hours and hours.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, we didn't know either. And then the Airbnb place that we were staying at mentioned it to us. So thank goodness to them. We were able to plan around it. And it wasn't that bad. Got to go up to Tofino. You know, check out the town. Did some walking around in the town of Tofino. Beautiful place. But with the added travel struggles, I don't know if it was worth it in the end. I was thinking Parksville Beach is pretty nice on its own. Could have just drove up there, but it was nice to see some waves, you know, west side of the island, get to see some actual Pacific Ocean waves coming in. It was good. And then everyone was asking me about this. You've seen this Malahat Skywalk?
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, lots of people were asking me. Everyone that I talked to, like in Nanaimo, has posted some pictures or Instagram stories and stuff. I'll tell you, it's not worth it in the end. It's a very, really? Very tourist attraction. Like, if you're not from the island, you're not even from BC, maybe you want to go see it if you're visiting from, like, out of country. I guess I don't even know what's going on with that with visitors out of country right now. But $32 just to walk the dang thing. And, like, it's cool. You walk up, you get pretty high, you can see, you know, a good view of the Malahat Valley. It's a nice view. There's a slide. Took about an hour and a half to get onto the slide. So I didn't do it. I'm not waiting an hour and a half for that. I was just lounging around, sitting in chairs, getting some sun. But pretty cool little thing, but $32 a person. That's
steep.
Pretty expensive for a view when you're in BC. You know, a lot of views are free. So this wasn't the best view yet. And yeah, I wouldn't do $32. I definitely wouldn't go again. I think it's worth it for people to go once, but I would even wait like a year until it slows down. It's going to be the same view next year.
Hmm. Is it recently opened?
Yeah, it just opened this summer.
Oh.
Like, I think it's only a month or two old now.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I've never even heard of it.
Like, yeah, no, it's definitely
I've just seen people posting
it. It's cool. Like, it's a big wooden structure. It's cool. It's cool to see once, but I have no intentions of going back. Hmm. I've seen it once. I don't need to go again. There's a viewpoint, like, 500 meters down the highway that literally, like, you just pull off with your car, you go look, it's the exact same view.
What's the other, if you had to pick one, tourist attraction in BC, we'll say worldwide, one tourist attraction, other than, obviously, the Malahat Skywalk, that you go see once and you're like, all right, I'm done. I don't need to see this ever again.
That's a good question because I like going up the Sea to Sky gondola in Squamish. And I've done that a few times. I was thinking that maybe, but the view is so gorgeous and like good restaurant on top there. I wouldn't put
it on that list.
I wouldn't put it on like the one list. I don't know. I'm not a huge like outdoorsy person anyway. So every time I see something once, I'm good with that. Like I don't need to see it again.
Enough. Fair enough.
You have something in mind?
No, I don't. Which is why I asked you the question. Like okay. I was thinking about it. And I don't think, like, I don't know, I guess the last tourist attraction I saw was the Big Campbell soup can in on Hornby Island. That was a fun thing to see once, but it's like, I don't need to go see it again, you know? It was cool.
Well, I drove by the biggest hockey stick in the world.
There's another one.
I stopped and took a picture of that, but yeah, it's a hockey stick.
Yeah.
I have the picture now if I want to see it or I can Google
it. I guess it's
it.
Hard to compare that to the Malahat Skywalk.
Yeah, like that
you
know, one.
If they charge you to take a picture of the hockey stick, then
yeah. Yeah, then we'd be talking, but yeah, I wouldn't do the Malahat Skywalk again.
Hmm.
I just can't really think of anything else that like everything else that you would like to go is normally pretty free. Like,
yeah.
You know, the Sea to Sky gondola is a little expensive to get up to the top, but you're going up and there's hikes at the top there. You know, there's a restaurant. So I don't think that one triggers for me either.
I know you're an island kid, so maybe this isn't the case for you, but have you ever been to Dinotown? Like, when you were a kid, did you ever come out to Dinotown?
I had no idea what that is.
Oh, Dinotown was so cool, and listeners of this show, oh, I don't know if anybody's, you know, some people will have definitely been to Dinotown. They're listening
I'm
to this.
Guessing this is in Burnaby, because you've never...
No, it was in Chilliwack, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is before I had to drive, of course. Got a ride out there, obviously. It's a place for kids, right? Like, I used to love Dinotown when I was a kid. And basically, Dinotown was this, like, amusement park. And there was, like, no rides. They were all just, like, structures of dinosaurs. And maybe I'm remembering it a little incorrectly. But that place got a little run down. And then by the end, they moved locations. And it was just, like, bouncy houses. And that was it. And it was like $40 to get in. So if you go look now, because I have very fond memories of the old Dinotown, but I like recently looked online. I was like, oh, I wonder, because I knew it closed, but I was like, I wonder when Dinotown's like last review was. So I go look at Dinotown, and it's all these people being like, it was $40 for my 3-year-old to come in, and he couldn't go on any of the bouncy castles because of the minimum height thing. This place is a scam. And like, oh, just all these horrible reviews. And it's like, the bouncy house gave my child a burn because it's in the sun. And I was like, oh my goodness. And like, all these horrible things being said about Dinotown, tarnishing the great name of Dinotown. And it just, it made me a little sad, because I have very fond memories of Dinotown, but this place that these reviews were describing, it was not the same place. And like, at first I was so confused. I'm like, that's not how I remember it. But then there was a review that was like, this is nothing like the old one. They shouldn't have moved locations. Like, it's just insane to me.
So this was just like there was, you know, dinosaur structures around?
Was like a theme park.
Okay.
And yeah, you
used to love the original one.
I used to love the original one so much. It was like Playground. Think of it like, there was a bunch of different playgrounds, and all the structures were dinosaur related.
That's fun. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think with like going to places, if I ever go do a hike, or I go up to see some site or like viewpoint, I only need to do it once.
That's
fair. I don't need to do it unless I can drive right to it and just sit there nicely, 2-minute walk. You know, I've gone to that one, the Burnaby one that you've recommended me. I've been there a few times now, just because it's nice to watch the sunset there onto the mountains.
Full
view of Vancouver.
But when I was a teenager, like, that place, it's freaking Daily Hive. It's Daily Hive's fault. They posted an article or whatever. You know how they always do that? Yep. They're always like, 10 places in Vancouver. Or, sorry, 10. 9 or 11. They never do 10.
Nope.
9 or 11, whatever it is, places you need to check out in Metro Vancouver. And, you know, this place, I'm not even going to say the name of it because I don't want people to go there. But they go to it and they're like, yeah, this is a great view of downtown. I saw it got on TikTok. But man, when I was in like grade 8 through 11, no, 8 through 10, we used to go there and nobody was up there. It was the coolest thing because it was literally...
The old Burnaby makeout spot for high school quads, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. No, not actually.
Not at all.
No, not at all. I wish. We went up there and we would go up there and it was so cool because there would be like 8 of us. We would just be like, hey, everybody want to meet here? Everybody want to meet? We'd go. There's that big hill there. And we would just chill. Sunset. Stars. It was the best. It was the best. And now you go. Now there's always people there. There's always like that one group of teenage guys that is playing their music through their car speakers like super loudly. And it's just like... It pisses me off that place got so popular.
Yeah. And it's a big, it's good sized little field too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an area for a lot of
people. Also, I feel bad not saying the name because people probably want to know. Capitol Hill Lookout. I think if you Google Capitol Hill Lookout, it'll come up.
Right.
It has some different name, but yeah, like I remember I was talking to one of the residents there. They were not happy. They were like, there's people here every night playing music so loudly. And it's like, yeah, that's
way she goes. It's a good view.
It is a good view. Yeah.
Hey, talk about the episode you did with Jack Rathbun. I know you just put an article out about it. Good.
Yeah.
Good little conversation with Jack again.
Yeah.
What, for one thing though, you're like, oh, I think you've been on the show the most here, Jack.
He has.
Three times. No, he hasn't.
Who's been more? That's a non-media member.
Aidan McDonough's been on more.
No, Aidan McDonough's been on 3 times.
4 times.
Has he?
I think at least 4
I times. Counted 3. That's why I told Jack he was tied with McDonough.
I think he's been on 4 times and a Patreon episode.
Oh, he did do a Patreon. So I think it's been on 3. 5. I think it's 3 and a Patreon, though.
Really? It's surprising if Jack would be the most...
Well, Jack always consistent guy. Jack always answers us.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
Yeah, he never blows us off. He always answers. He's always ready to come on whenever.
Yeah, but it was a good chat with him. Obviously, he said a lot of things we were kind of expecting. He's excited about the season. Excited to you know, that's the thing that we hear from a lot of them is just making a tough decision for management to send him down to the AHL. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's what's going to come to be.
One thing that I highlighted in the story was when I asked Jack about the offseason acquisitions, he was really happy about it. And he was saying, like, you know, the context of the question was me talking about how crappy the vibe was around the team last year. And I preface by saying I know he wasn't there the whole season and didn't get a complete feel of it, but you can feel an awkward vibe when there's an actual awkward vibe, which is exactly what he walked into.
I think the time that he got there too, that's one of the worst parts of the season.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, just kind of talked about what it does to a team's spirits to see the management group go out and pick up players like Garland and OEL. And, you know, I kind of look at it in contrast with JT Miller's comments to Ben Kuzma of the province last year when Toffoli left, when Tanev left, and when Markstrom left, how Miller said it was surprising. He almost used the R word, too, when he was talking about it. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, the players want to win, and they want the best chance at winning. And I've talked about this every week about how, no, the Canucks needed to get better. Because, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, they didn't need to go all in. They didn't need to improve the team like that. Like, they should have played the long game. They were 1 year out of losing those contracts anyways, the Louis Beagle one and Roussel. I get that. But at the end of the day, they had to improve. And the thing with that is like, yes, the players are happy. Like, we are going to talk to a lot of players at training camp, and I'm going to be asking that question to a lot of players. And I think you're going to be hard pressed to find a player that says, you know, these are great acquisitions, but I really wish we kept that first round pick. Like, I don't think you're going to find a player that says that. But that being said, like, I had a lot of people replying and saying, see, like, the players love this. Like, good job, Jimbo. And it's like, yes, good piece of work getting Garland for sure. But the Canucks also painted themselves into this corner, right? Like, they didn't have a choice, and it wasn't like, I guess the thing I'm trying to say is it's not an unforced error, if that makes sense. Like, they put themselves in this position where their team was so bad that they had to really just swallow their pride, give up a first round pick, and improve their team now because they had no other option. And whether you want to applaud the management group for that, like, you can. I think you and I both think that the team is a lot better, and I think at the end of the day, that's all that matters for these players. Like, they want to be on a winning team, but I get why you're concerned about the future as well when you look at what's coming and how, you know, Rathbone and Podkolzin are graduating this year, and there you go. Like, what's your prospect covered after that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've had a problem with the way that Jim Benning has run the team over his 8 years is that a lot of the times it's like he forces himself on a one-way street. Like, a lot of the time when you see the players that he went out and signed, those are guys that were going to have to play out their contract in Vancouver. You weren't going to be able to, you know, trade Jay Beagle for a draft pick, trade Antoine Roussel for a draft pick, you know, trade Tyler Myers for a draft pick.
Yeah.
Like, when he has gone directions, it's, you know, it's just like I said, it's a one-way street. It's not like there's really, you know, exits for him to turn off, and the exits that he has to take are going out there and making a massive swing for an Oliver Ekman-Larsson and bringing in a Connor Garland, which, yes, it improves the team quite a bit. But like you said, now this team has to 100% focus on just, you know, being in the here and now, living day to day, making this team, everything about this organization is focused on this season and winning this season, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, you know, as a person who covers this team, I want to cover a team that's trying to make the playoffs.
Yep.
But I also want to cover a team that gets to a Stanley Cup final and wins a Stanley Cup final. And this route that they're going is pushing a lot of chips into what they have going on right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how this season goes. And then from this season on as well, to see how they are able to bring in more players, more young players. I mean, we talked about it before recording. You know, what are the odds that they move next year's first round pick?
Yeah, I think high.
I don't think it's high because I don't think they can bring in a lot of money.
I think that first round pick's gone by the deadline. If they're in a position where they're on the cusp, and why wouldn't you? Like I'm sorry, but if you're like a second in the Pacific, or you're maybe first, whatever. If you're like in a spot where you're going to make the playoffs, do you not try to improve this year's team, or do you still try to keep an eye on the future?
I think if you're second in the Pacific and you're 100% secure in the playoffs, maybe.
Like, they've already gone all in on this season, but I think they're going to have another chance to go all in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you need something to back that
you
up.
You do. I agree.
Man, if you just go all in for this season and it doesn't happen,
yeah.
What if you have another situation where you trade for a player that's in a Tyler Toffoli spot for the Canucks, where he comes in and doesn't come back to the team next year? Ooh. I think that you need that first round pick to be something that you hit on. But at the same time, like, if you are drafting, let's say the Canucks make it to, you know, make it to the second round of the playoffs and get bounced, then their draft pick's 23rd overall, 25th overall, somewhere around there. It's not, you know, then you think like, maybe the trade value would have been worth it to be able to get a player that maybe you have under cost control for a couple of years. Like, first round picks are so, I think the value of a first round pick is so different from, like, look at the way that the Canucks traded this one. You knew it was 9th overall. And then if you were to trade next year's pick tomorrow, you don't know where that pick's going to land. But if you trade that at the deadline, you know in the range of where that pick's going to be. So the Canucks' first-round pick today is very different than what it's going to be valued at the trade deadline. But it's still a first-round pick, and it's still going to get you a good player.
Exactly.
So I think it's possible for them to move it, but I'm not in the same camp as you, because I think you can really get a good player in the top 25 of the draft.
I think so, too. I think they should keep it. I think they should keep it. I think the chances are low. I think that pick's getting moved.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to be... I mean, Jim Benning had... Like, for all that Jim Benning gets crapped on, man, the dude is not afraid to go out and make moves.
Aggressive Jim, right? Man.
Aggressive Jim, when he turns that light switch on, puts on a fresh set of Just for Men, gets nice and dark. And believe me, I've done it myself. I've used the Just for Men on the beard. So it gives you more confidence.
Remember when I did it on my mustache?
Yeah, those 14
photos
hairs.
Those photos will never see the light of day. Maybe Patreon.
Yeah, maybe. I'll tell you, man. You do get the confidence when the Just for Men hits. I'll tell you. I've done it before.
I did not find that to be the case.
I'll show you. I think I'll show you a picture of my beard, you know, that I had when I actually put the Just for Men real black in. Looked like a different person.
I got to see this.
It looks good. But yeah, I mean, you know, he has not been afraid to be aggressive. And yeah, I mean, it's very possible that they trade next year's first round pick, but what, they already don't have a second next year?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, are you going to go another year without a first and a second and making your first pick and third? I don't think they can do that. That's why I don't think they can get rid of their first
I don't think
round.
They should either. And I think the way that I look at it is the best teams and the teams that are winning cups, the teams that are going deep in the playoffs, they all have contributing players on ELCs, which is why I think it was so frustrating for fans to see Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, arguably the two best players in the league that are still on ELCs, together on ELCs at the same time, and see the team not able to capitalize on that. Like, that sucks. That just sucks.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, but like, yes, they weren't able to become a playoff team. They got that run. I mean, the bubble run that they got, that was something that you got on an ELC. It's not like every really good player on an ELC does get a playoff run.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Most don't.
Yep.
Because think about how bad teams are that are drafting players that high that make that much of impact on their ELCs. A lot of them don't, right? I mean, the Canucks are about to have players on ELCs making a big contribution to this. I mean, you're going to have Nils Höglander. You're going to have Vasily Podkolzin. You know, even this year, you're going to have Jack Rathbone before he ends up having to do a new contract extension for next season. So there are still some players here on an ELC. And those, you know, you look at teams that are going into the playoffs and the teams that end up making the Stanley Cup Finals. Yes, their ELC players are making a difference, but they're probably not the top contributors. And I think that's the part about Pettersson and Hughes that's disappointing, was like, they were the best players on the team and they were on ELCs. A lot of the time, like, you look at Montreal, some ELCs that they had going off into the Stanley Cup final. I mean, they weren't the best players on the team, but damn, they were making a difference on a very low cap hit.
Exactly. And the Canucks are going to have that in Podkolzin. Like, I think it's fair to say that Podkolzin won't be the best player on the team, but he'll be a contributor. He'll actually matter to this team. And having him on an ELC, again, you got a guy like Nils Höglander again on an ELC, like, this matters. The Canucks have two of these guys right there. I don't want to put Rathbone in that conversation, but you've got these two guys there. So then it begs the question again, Chris, do you go all in on this year? Like, do you move that first round pick because you have two guys on ELCs who are going to contribute? Do you make that move? Like, how far away is this team from being an actual cup contender?
Yeah, here's the thing. You sound so confident, but where's the salary cap space coming from to add a guy who, you know, a contributing player is going to help your top six. That's kind of, or a top four guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a guy making over $4 million. Where's that cap space?
So what if you find a way to move out Tyler Myers and pull in a right-handed defenseman, throwing a first-round pick on it as well?
Well, you got to throw a first-round pick at least on Tyler Myers to get him out of here.
Yeah.
You know, no, like that's...
Aaron Ekblad. Make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, like...
Just throwing out names.
Honestly, man, like, I hate to go down this road, but is that not the best way to use your first-round pick is to get rid of Tyler Myers with it?
No, it's not the best way. No, the best way to use
$6 million of cap for three more years after this year?
No, the best way to use that first-round pick is by drafting a player.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, but that's a lot of money.
It is.
Tyler Myers is going to be making. The thing about Tyler Myers that's different from Lou Eriksson is that he's playing and he makes a difference.
Yeah.
Right? And I know you're a Tyler Myers stan over here. I don't know why. You must have stood. You've never stood by him. I'll tell you. He's a tall man. For people who don't know, Tyler Myers is tall.
He's very tall.
That's the thing that I'm so worried about, because not only Tyler Myers makes too much money, he's also not a good fit with the left shot defenseman they have that they're going to have. Like, we talked about this. I think you said someone in the comments was like, Rathbone's not going to get his time. We have all these offensive defensemen. You know, the only way Rathbone gets time is if Tyler Myers gets moved, Oliver Ekman-Larsson gets moved, or Quinn Hughes gets moved. And it's like, none of those guys are going anywhere anytime soon.
Exactly.
Ekman-Larsson's here for a long time. You know, Tyler Myers is still here for a few more years, even after this year. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, Tyler Myers is going to have to change his game, or he's going to have to be a player that you can somehow move on to. And I don't think it takes a first to get rid of Tyler Myers. I think there's still a little bit of value somewhere. You know, you hold on to maybe a little bit of the money for the rest of the contract. Maybe you obviously have to attach something to him to get him gone, but I still think that there's enough value from Tyler Myers that, you know, like I said, I don't think Seattle would have picked him at the expansion draft, but I still would have exposed him there. Because I still think you can go find another player on the market. But Tyler, it's going to be, you know, this year needs to be a huge bounce back from Tyler Myers. You know, even when Tyler Myers showed some worth on this Canucks team was when the Canucks were down and they played Quinn Hughes with them 2 years ago, and they were very good together. They were excellent together at creating offense. Obviously, it was chaotic in the defense zone with those two together. But that's something I actually want to get to in the second half of the episode, is how Tyler Myers and Quinn Hughes can work together to kind of get back to how that really helps the team. When you're losing and you need an ultra-offensive pairing, that's the pairing that you got
to
go with.
Yeah, they don't have Schmidt anymore. They don't have Schmidt to do that. So
exactly. And it's crazy because Schmidt, you know, you still get a pick back for him. You get a third-round pick for him. It's, like, completely opposite in my mind to think Tyler Myers would be able to just get a third-round pick. Like, you know, would that not make sense? Like, how much more valuable is Nate Schmidt than Tyler Myers? Their contracts are almost the same.
Yeah, but Schmidt has a history as a 2-3 guy.
Right.
And he's had a bad year. I think Winnipeg's just bounced.
Yeah, and I think that might be the hard part of looking at it this year. But what if you have a bounce back here from Tyler Myers and maybe he has some value next year? He's a guy that needs to start making that $6 million worth it, because that's a big cap hit.
I'm here for the Tyler Myers love.
I know you are. I know you are. You want him to play 28 minutes a night. You want him to have 7-minute shifts. That's your favorite part, watching a Canucks
game. Give me that Myers shift clock.
When the Myers shift clock comes down and he's at over 4 minutes, Quads is just loving that. He's bouncing. All right, we'll go to a quick break here. We got a lot of stuff that I actually want to get into on the other side. Missed a week last week, and you're gone next week as well. So we got a lot to get into before the little vacation that's coming up here. So we'll send you a quick ad break, and we'll meet you guys on the other side to dive into a few other Canucks topics. All right, folks, that's right. We got a new ad finally here for Parallel 4-9 Beer. You want to get down to the street kitchen, folks. It's more than just a street kitchen now. Now it is a full-on beer gardens. Absolutely beautiful. You've seen Quads and I tweeting about it. The food's amazing. A ton of beers on tap. Quads as well. You've had not only beers, but what other drinks did you like there?
Had the Muddler's Pink Lemonade. That was very good. You need to go get the food, though. The food at the Parallel 4-9 Street Kitchen, ridiculous. What did we eat that one day? Poutine, cheeseburger. Well, I ate it all. waffle fries, and then we got those Korean barbecue wings.
Yeah, the spicy chicken burger, that's my go-to. But delicious. What you do, a little trick for everyone, you swap out the jalapenos for their pickled cucumbers. Very, very good. Highly recommend that. That's down at 1950 Triumph Street off an East Van that's parallel 49 at 1950 Triumph Street. Check them out in East Van and go down and try some beers and be sure to get some food down on that beautiful patio.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
Squish Beverage, my new favorite drink of the summer. Absolutely crushable. The right drink to bring down to the beach, the right drink to bring down to the river, camping, whatever you're doing this summer. Squish is the beverage for you. They have original hard seltzers in a bunch of different flavors, but the lemonade ones, those are my favorite quads.
Me too. I can drink more than one of those. They're crushable.
Which is good. So when you go down to the beach, you're bringing how many?
More than one.
More than
one. Unlike last time.
Absolutely. This is the hard seltzer for you. This is the hard seltzer for summer. Go out and try Squish. You can find the original flavors of hard seltzer at BC liquor stores. But if you want to do a little bit of digging, that's where you're going to find the lemonades. My favorite. And you can find those at private liquor stores all across British Columbia. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors here on the Canucks Conversation. Very excited to have the local support from some great local companies, of course. Quad's local team is what we want to get into here. And there's a lot. I mean, since that we've recorded last together, you know, the Jason Dickinson deal has come through. Tidy piece of business.
Tidy.
Is the way to call it. People are getting tired of hearing that. I think at this point, people have to understand it's a joke.
Yeah.
We're saying tidy this much.
Yes. My cousin called that contract, by the way. Texted me.
2.65.
Yeah. He literally texted me the night before it was signed. He goes, I think it's 3 years at 2.65. And when it was announced, I was like, oh, this guy actually called it. Like down to the 2.65.
Is your cousin's last name Aquilini?
No, it is not. No.
You don't have a DeVito Aquilini in DeVito the family?
No.
Nothing like that?
His name's Francesco, though, which is equally
well,
Italian.
Well, that's not surprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it. I mean, I think it's a deal that a lot of people were hoping for, a lot of people were expecting, and it kind of came where a lot of people thought in the original value was going to be, and the term as well. I think a lot of people were thinking 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we were talking about the contract, we were talking about like what Dickinson would look for in arbitration. And for them to avoid arbitration, it's pretty nice. That's pretty, dare I say it, tidy piece of business.
Yeah, and Dickinson said like there was no thought of them going to arbitration.
Yeah.
That's what he said on 650 when he was on there. And yeah, of course not. I mean, this was a deal that was going to get done, and we're glad it got done. It's just, it's been strange, obviously. We're not spending a lot of time talking about the Pedersen-Hughes contract. It's always on the back of the mind.
If it's not done, and, you know, I think the guy to look to for this is Rick Dhaliwal.
Of course.
Talks, you know, Rick Dhaliwal of Newport Sports and CAA.
Every morning.
Every
JP
morning.
Barry, how are you?
Oh, man. Him talking about how he sent him that fake Louis is retiring tweet and then how JP was not happy with him. I was like, man, that's a tough position for Rick to be in. I feel bad for him.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Dhaliwal.
I don't follow the new Mr. Booth.
You don't?
I don't need that on my timeline.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I wonder how he's going to feel about that. He's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He drives me crazy, though.
That's fair.
Drives me insane with all this stuff that he puts out there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not a Mr. Booth follower.
Yeah. Okay. So Donnie and Dolly are on vacation right now.
I appreciate
now.
What he does, though.
Okay. Okay.
But I hate it.
Okay. Easy.
Okay.
Donnie and Dolly are on vacation right now. They're going to be back on September 7th, I believe. But they were at the golf course and they did a video. I don't know if you saw this, but Dhaliwal was basically saying, like, Hughes, Pedersen, there's no animosity between the two sides. It's going to get done. If it's not done by mid September, maybe start to worry. But both sides want to get to training camp. And man, that makes sense. Like, if you're Elias Pettersson, and I've heard a lot of people suggest, closer to the situation than I am, that Pettersson really wanted to come back at the end of next year, or at the end of last season, and he basically was just told, no, just sit this one out and recover. Like, we want you ready for next season. You know, we know what kind of competitor he is. He wanted to be back on the ice. There's no question in my mind. So for him to miss the start of training camp, I would not be surprised, again, not reporting anything, would not be surprised if Elias is telling his agent, like, look, I want to get this done, but we need to make sure that I'm there for training camp. Like, I want what I'm worth, but I got to be there for training camp. And I think Henrik kind of alluded to that the two sides are going to work together. Like, you know, JP Barry, everybody knows this, I think, same agent that represented Daniel and Henrik for all their careers. And Henrik was on the VanCast with Thomas Drantz, and he was talking about being on the other side of that and like talking to JP, because we've heard that when Henrik and Daniel were considering their roles with the Canucks, they were talking to JP Barry for advice. Like, you know, I don't know if he got a cut of what they're making now. I don't think he's still officially their agent, but, you know, lifelong friend.
JP Barry's going to be the next GM of the Canucks for all the deals he's pulled there. I mean, yeah, I know. And man, how about Drance's guest list on VanCast?
That's been great.
Who does he get next? Like, he's,
yeah.
Who's, like, is it Daniel. Benning? Look is at it Daniel. Benning next?
Oh, man. I want to have Benning on the show. I was talking to my brother about this. I was like, you know, like, you think about how much fun we have when we have guys on. And, like, we don't throw people curveballs. We don't, you know, we're not going to be like, Jim, it's year eight. What's going on? Like, that's, I don't know. I just want to have Jim on and be like, Jim, what's your favorite type of sandwich? Yeah. Just get to know Jim, the person.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like, you know, I try and always have fun on the Zoom calls. But like when you get Jim Benning, you can't. That's when you got to get your questions in, your burning questions.
Yeah.
But maybe like if he starts doing like more Zoom calls or more.
He's going to come on the podcast.
Or comes on the podcast. You know, I'll be able to have some fun. Maybe I'll throw a Warzone question out to him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll respond well to that.
He ain't going on a Warzone.
I heard he's a big fan of Granville Island. A lot of people have seen him at Granville Island. Yeah. Mm. And how could you not? Granville Island's fantastic.
I love Granville Island, man. Yeah. That's my favorite spot to visit around here.
Exactly.
Favorite spot. I get the kebabs. I get the kebabs. I get the meatballs.
Nice.
That's my go-to now. And the pesto. I don't know which place it is. It's a little pesto salad on the corner, kind of right by the eatery outside there. Huh. It's a little... They just, all the little delis, all the little salads. I like the little side salad. I'll go there. I'll get maybe three. I'll get three different side salads, a little pasta salad, little, you know, actual real salad, and then some other salad. And man, I'll just have a few sides.
Have you gone to the arcade at Granville Island?
No, I haven't.
I went there. It was fun. It was
great. I would be surprised. You probably just last year's first time you crossed over from the child's corner there.
Yeah, I was still at the child's corner last time.
Yeah, that's probably where the arcade is, now that I think about it.
It is. It's in there. Yeah, it was great. I went on like a Tuesday morning. There was nobody there. It was great. It was just me and the arcade.
I went to Tawasin Mills right before I left on vacation because it was about the ferry. I had an hour to kill. And the way that I set it up was, you know, make sure we're an hour early because there's an Arby's out there. Took the girlfriend to Arby's. She wasn't a fan. I loved it. I had three sandwiches on the side. It was good. And then I was walking through the mall at Tawasin Mills. And there's this one, it was like a one of the bigger stores, like not like Sport Check size or Winner size, but like the bigger store in the middle of the mall. And it was just arcade games.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was like a big, big area of just arcade games. I think it was just called like Arcade Zone or something.
You know what? I haven't been to Tawasin Mills in years. I went to Tawasin Mills about 2 years ago, and I just went to the sports card store there. Not going to say their name because no free ads. Zephyr Epic is the only place we buy sports cards now.
Of course.
But that was the only place I went in there. I just went to the sports card store and looked around, and I was there for like a solid hour.
I know which
hour,
one you're talking about. Yeah,
2 hours.
Yeah, they have a full hockey store out there too.
Really?
Hockey Pro Hockey Life, I think it's called.
Wow.
Just a full store of hockey stuff.
I should have explored that place more.
Yeah, like I was thinking, I was like, wouldn't mind picking up just like a Bauer or CCM hoodie. I could rock that. Never really thought of it. And the Bass Pro out there, man. There, when that place opened and the Bass Pro was like one, obviously the big like main attraction for people to come into, people were taking the ferry. They had shuttles. Like Bass Pro was doing shuttles just from down the road of the ferry to get you in there to go to Bass Pro. Like it was crazy opening weekend.
That's amazing.
All right, we'll get into some hockey stuff again to close out here. I do have a little bit of prospect stuff later on, but the thing that I wanted to bring up, and this is something that I have, like, I haven't heard this talked about anywhere, or you know, nobody's wrote about this either, but I was thinking, what if, you know, defense pairings, we all kind of think it's going to be Quinn Hughes, it's going to be Travis Hamonic, sounds like it's going to be OEL and Poolman, and then, you know, one of Rathbone, Yalevi, Hunt, and then playing with Tyler Myers on a third pairing. But I was thinking, like, we do see pairings change throughout the season, whether it be from injury or just bad play. Would you be surprised at all to see Poolman get a run with Quinn Hughes? I was thinking this out as a top four. I wonder if this top four is more balanced to see Pullman, who really is not going to affect anything offensively, just going to be sturdy in his defensive zone, defend the rush well, defend the front of the net well. Would it not make sense to have Hamonic be OEL's partner? And then Pullman play with Quinn Hughes.
Stylistically, I like that.
It's a lot. It makes a lot of sense stylistically, and I haven't heard anyone say this
yet. Are you confident? Because I think they're more confident. And again, we're just basing this because Drance reported it, and we're assuming he's talking to Travis. But are you comfortable with Pullman and Hughes as your shutdown pair?
Well, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah, how are you using these lines?
What I was thinking was your first pairing getting the most 5-on-5 minutes ends up being OEL and Travis Hamonic. And then what I was thinking was the other pairings that'll be mixed up are, when you need some offense, Quinn Hughes plays with Tyler Myers. And this is something that I brought up earlier in the episode, is if you want to just, you know, if you get a chance where the lotto line's out there and you want to give all the most opportunities to create offense in the offensive zone, score goals, put out Quinn Hughes with Tyler Myers on that shift. And then if it's just Quinn Hughes playing with, you know, a second line, third line, fourth line, whatever he's with, keep it with Pullman. Or even if there's times with the lotto line, just keep Pullman out there. But have the option to go with Tyler Myers and Quinn Hughes to help add some offense when you have your top scoring lines out there. And I think with this situation, you make your shutdown line be OEL and Travis Hamonic. Because I think Hamonic is going to be the most dependable right shot defenseman in the defensive zone. Right? Like, he's going to be the number one trusted right shot shutdown guy. And that doesn't sound great for a hockey team. But if he's playing with OEL, maybe you can get the best defensively out of him, because Hamonic you can really trust defensively. You know, even though he probably shouldn't be your top pairing guy, you can trust him as a second pairing, third pairing shutdown guy. So I thought of this idea because maybe Pullman doesn't get a ton of minutes. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago with Harm. Where does Tyler Myers get all these minutes? He ends up finishing a game with 21 minutes. He's, even though he's on a third pairing, this is the kind of situation where I see it happening, where Hughes probably spends, you know, 12 minutes of 5-on-5 time with Pullman. He ends up spending maybe 4 to 5 minutes with Tyler Myers, gets, you know, not a lot, 3-4 shifts a game, 3 to 5 shifts. If they're losing, you run them out more, but 3 to 5 shifts with Tyler Myers. And then he ends up playing, you know, 10 to 15 shifts at 5-on-5 with Pullman. And that was kind of how I saw some added minutes for Tyler Myers, getting some value out of his money. And, you know, that's kind of how I saw it working out, but it's going to depend on if Hamonic could play with OEL on a true shutdown pairing.
Yeah. I wonder what we see out of camp. I think we are going to see OEL and Pullman out of camp. But do you think there comes a point when they switch that up? Like, we've talked about this before, and Travis has talked about this, how they would like to have their lineup set. Like, we are going to see the set Vancouver Canucks lineup in at least 2 or 3 preseason games. I think that's safe to say. They want to get it done earlier. The importance of these games is through the roof. They were shown by not having any of them last year, and how much the team struggled to gel with each other out of the gate. When you have so much, like, Quinn Hughes is the longest tenured Canucks defenseman now. Like, let that sink in. That makes me feel old. When that's the case, and you have all these new faces, they have to mesh together. Like, they have to get a chance to learn the system. They got to have a chance to play together. And I think in the preseason, we're going to see them a lot sooner than we have in years past together. And we're going to see the full lineup, and you're going to see it right away. So that in mind, how much do they play around with it? Like, how much do they say, oh, maybe Pullman can slip here? Or is it just, OEL's here, we're not looking back, he's playing with Pullman?
Yeah, I think the only thing is, like, everybody's, to your point, and I guess I'm kind of looking at it from the other end, like, everybody's set on Quinn Hughes going back with Travis Hamonic. Everybody. Like, everybody thinks that's what's going to be apparent. They played together last year. They developed some chemistry near the end of the year. But what if Pullman is just a little bit of a better fit with Hughes? We don't know. We haven't seen them play together. And if you're going to have Pullman coming in for a 4-year deal, there's going to be times where eventually he's going to play with Quinn Hughes. Over those 4 years, at some point, he's going to get some minutes with Quinn Hughes. What if that is a good fit in the end? I mean, you know, Travis Hamonic's good. He sticks up for his players, that we saw last year. You saw him drop the gloves at times. It's just like, is Pullman maybe a little bit more mobile than Travis Hamonic? Because from what I've seen with Pullman, I think he is. Like, I think he's a little bit of a better skater. And if he can hold his own defensively in a similar way to Hamonic, it might make more sense to have Quinn Hughes play with that guy.
Yeah, it just, with that in mind, does it also make more sense to have him with OEL? Because then at least you have one guy. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and dunk on OEL, but if I have a winger bursting down the wing and I can choose either Hughes or OEL to defend it, I think you're still taking Hughes. Just purely off of skating ability, I think you're still taking Hughes. And who needs to be covered for more, OEL or Hughes? I think it's a lot closer than people think.
Yeah,
I think the edge still goes to OEL, but I wonder, and Kevin Woodley was talking about this a few weeks when he was on the show, will that impact that Brad Shaw is going to have on Quinn Hughes.
Oh, yeah, the 2 minutes you guys didn't talk about goalies, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If he, you know, and, you know, Hughes has gotten away with some stuff and played out of the system, and nobody's really held him accountable, and now there's someone there that's going to, or we anticipate is going to, and, you know, Brad Shaw was on the radio talking about how he's going to fix Hughes' defensive game. Like, I think if you're a Canucks fan, you're a little more confident in Quinn Hughes, like, that he can be what he was in his rookie year. And I don't know. Who needs the help more, Hughes or OEL? I really think that there's a case to be made that it's OEL that needs Pullman on his pairing. And this is all suggesting.
But are we saying that, like, what I'm saying is I think that it's so locked in that Hamonic is like a better defensive defenseman.
Is it though?
I think so. I think that's the reason why he's playing with Quinn Hughes. And I just think that maybe there's room for two veterans who, you know, Hamonic was a heck of a defender when he was younger.
Yes.
You know, and obviously OEL was as well.
Yep.
I just think that maybe that's a pairing that could somehow gel together and be the veteran defense. If you're looking to have the shutdown pairing, you probably want some veterans there. It makes sense to me to have those two play together. If it's two players that understand how the NHL works and how to, you know, be a shutdown pairing in the NHL, I would have more confidence in a Hamonic OEL than I would with an OEL Pullman. To me, just from like a shutdown pairing. And that's basing it off the, like, you know, to add to that, we just don't know what Pullman Hughes looks like.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't hate to see that in a couple of preseason games. Play with Pullman.
If this was NHL 16 franchise mode and the Canucks had OEL and Hamonic, that's like a 90 overall defense.
Yeah, that would be an excellent defense. And then you throw Quinn Hughes in there, but he'd be like 15.
He'd be 14 or 15.
That would be a tough look. But yeah, I haven't heard anybody talk about Pullman even having the chance playing with Quinn Hughes. I just don't think I think it should be, you know, mentioned anyways.
I think it should be looked at.
I think it's a pairing that you have a little bit more mobility with Pullman, though he may not be the stay-at-home defenseman as much as Hamonic is. I think he is. Like, you know, Pullman doesn't take penalties. He does, you know, a good job of kind of keeping guys away from the crease. That's parts that I've liked about his game. But I do think that there's a real, like, buy-in from Pullman about being, you know, I talk about this all the time, secondary puck movers. Primary puck mover has to be Quinn Hughes. I really think there's a huge buy-in from Pullman about that. That he doesn't want to be the guy making the breakout pass. You know, Quinn Hughes has got to be that guy. He just has to get the puck to him or get the puck to the closest forward. And I think that it's something that, you know, I think maybe should be floated through training camp as well. And I don't want it to shock everyone when we see that pairing maybe come together, because I wouldn't be surprised to see it at some point during the season at all. Like, if they're struggling, if they lose, you know, 6 of 7, and you have the pairings just kind of as we expect it, why would you not try that? Like, why would you not switch to, you know, switch Pullman and Hamonic around? It just makes a lot of sense to me, and it's something that hasn't been brought up. Just a, you know, just floating an idea.
You are floating it out there, and I like it. I like the idea. They need to look at it at training camp. I agree with you.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into a little bit of a prospects report here. You know, some overseas hockey going down. It's going down. We got the Hugo Gabrielsson scored today on Friday morning. In his first preseason action with the Allsvenskan team. Good for him to get on the board early, get a little confidence. He sounds like he's loving being a part of that team. He's going to have a lot of time. And he's playing the left side. He played a lot of the right side last year. He's playing the left side right now. Lucas Forsell, not looking great for his SHL chances. Hasn't played an SHL game yet. He's getting games in with the J20 team, which is good. If he goes back to J20, he's going to absolutely dominate there. But not a lot of other guys playing. The Finnish guys have started their preseason. Like, they're going to start cranking out pretty soon here. I haven't really been watching a lot of Finnish guys because I'll be honest, not a lot of, you know, Utinen doesn't really excite me. Jašek, I'm not really sure what his future is with the Canucks. And then Jarmo, from what I saw last year with Jarmo, I don't know. I'm going to have to watch again this year, but I just didn't like a lot what I saw from Jarmo. So he's down on my lists. But I'm excited for NCAA to get cranking up too, man. You know, once we get, I'm excited to see Jack Malone get back in action. He was a guy that I really liked before his season got shut down at Cornell and he wasn't able to play. I had to go back to the USHL. I liked a lot of Jack Malone. I think he can skate. It'll be interesting to see what he does at the NCAA level. That'll be the toughest level of competition he's played against. So Malone's a guy I'm excited for. Obviously McDonough to get him back into action. And just everything with overseas. His prospects are cranking up now. It's good to see. Good to watch some hockey again. And you know what? No Russia games so far. Like, I've watched a little bit of Zlodiev, which are 3 o'clock games. Man, those 3 a.m. games have not been fun.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of Swedish and Finnish. I love it. It's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock starts. I don't have to wake up for 5, 6 in the morning for Pod Colson anymore. That's what I'm excited about. So we'll see what Zlodiev can do. So far, Zlodiev's looking pretty good at that KHL spot. It's going to be still going to be difficult for him to do it. But, man, if he can crack the KHL team out of camp, he's looking like the fourth line center. He's battling for that role right now. So if he can crack that, that's a big step up for a kid who, you know, still is going to play in the World Juniors this year. He's going to be 19 years old, potentially playing in the KHL. Huge for Zlodiev.
Got a prospect report myself.
Yeah.
Aku Koskenvuo.
Okay.
Selected to the Finnish team as the third goaltender, I think.
I think.
Yeah. I think he was, well, I think he's going to be the third goaltender.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he was selected.
Like, here's my report. You give it, I think.
No, I'm anticipating he'll be the third goaltender. That's what I meant.
Okay.
But yeah, Aku Koskenvuo selected.
He's not going to win the job out of a camp?
I don't think so. I honestly think he's going to end up being the third.
Good experience anyway.
You know what? It's good experience, and he's still a ways away. Like, he is going to come to Harvard, and that's going to be a big learning year for him. Like, I don't even know if he's going to come in and just light the world on fire at Harvard. I think this is a guy that's going to take, it's going to take a while, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like Elvis Merzlikins, you look at his development path, took him a while to get to the NHL, right? And, you know, this is a guy that Ian Clark is very high on because of his abilities, his natural raw talent, and all these intangibles that Ian says are just, in his experience in the game, are very difficult to teach guys. But when they have it naturally, targeting those guys, you can teach them the other stuff that, you know, Ian called it the tangibles, those things that you can teach. The guys that play and don't have a ton of structure in their game, but they have all these natural abilities. Like Ian and I were talking about this and just the philosophy in targeting prospect goaltenders. And we're talking about the North American style and how goalies go to goalie schools when they're like 9 or 10, right? It's like they're learning all these technical abilities. And Ian was like, but hockey is too random for you to study every single thing that's going to happen. You don't know. Like, something could happen where you have to rely on your natural instincts and your natural abilities. And if you don't have those because you've been taught, like, from such a young age, all these technical abilities and how to properly make this save, if there's a time where you have to sprawl across the crease, you're not ready for that. Yeah. Like, you don't have that. So Ian likes those guys that aren't brought up with these amazing technical abilities, but have all these raw natural attributes that they've been forced to develop.
Like Askarov.
even him, that's another guy, you know, he's got really good agility and really good reflexes. Yeah. And those are intangibles.
For the people at home, this is the only time of the whole podcast recording where you've gone like full Italian. You were switching the mic from hand to hand, using your hands and talking like that. He doesn't do that for the rest of the podcast. That's just when he starts talking about goalies here. Switching hands, a mic to use your hands to talk there. You wish you had two hands. You got to get a mic stand when you talk goalies.
So I can talk Italian.
Yeah. Hey, before we wrap up, I don't know how much you want to say about it, but
yeah,
going on your first flight and you're doing it for work, some exciting stuff coming up.
So,
do you want to say why?
Yes. So okay. I'm taking a vacation because someone pointed this out to me because I was like, you know, you've taken some vacation time, which is fine. And people were like,
I've taken 5 days of vacation.
But people were like,
a year.
Oh, well, you left too. And I was like, when did I leave? So I got wisdom teeth surgery. That's not a vacation. That is medical leave. Okay, so I've never taken a vacation from this show.
You went to Hornby.
And that was last year.
Okay.
That's a year. I get more than one vacation. I get one a year.
I tell you right now, like as the as a creator of the show, we only get 5 days vacation time a year. That's all you get.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta use them very carefully.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. So I'll be missing the two episodes coming up this week. And then on, I don't know exactly which day yet, but I'll be gone in Edmonton at the start of next week. Going to Nation Network HQ to make a fun announcement. I won't make it yet. Won't jump the gun. Probably the world's worst kept secret because I've brought it up like 6 times over the last like 5 months, but it's finally happening and I'm very excited. So yeah, flying out to Edmonton.
There's going
to
be some hype online from what I hear.
There is going to be some hype online. Very exciting.
Excited for that. And first time you've been on a flight, right?
Yeah. Last time I flew, I was 3 and we went to Manitoba. And I don't remember it at all. So it's going to be really fun. I'm really excited to fly.
Are you allergic to pretzels? You can't eat pretzels?
No, I can eat pretzels.
Well, there you go. Pretzels on the flight. You get a free thing of pretzels. Little bag.
Nice.
Some ginger ale to wash it down.
Nice. Probably just bring my water bottle and just have that.
Yeah, well, whatever you want. You know, I'd go with the pretzels. They're good. I like the little mini pretzels they give you on the flights here.
The funny part is, and I'll be back on in time for Wednesday's show, like on September 1st when we record, and you're picking me up from the airport, which is pretty funny because I was looking at the times. So I leave at 2:55 from the Edmonton airport, 2:55 local in Edmonton. And then I get back at 3:15. Like when I land, it'll only be 3:15 here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was looking at that and I was like, what? Wait, why am I only, like this flight's so short. But then I was like, oh no, time zones. That's how that works.
There's flights right now from Abbotsford to Calgary for $19.
That's insane.
Yeah. When I was like, oh, nice, you know, Nation Network flying you out for some big deal. They probably paid $22 for your flight. They don't really care. That's a chump change to them.
Oh, but
yeah, no, that'll be good. I'm excited for you to get over there, get on a plane and do some work with the higher-ups.
Yeah.
Canucks Army, the top-notch people there.
New offices at Nation Network. They just got a new office building.
You'll have to post some pictures on Twitter.
There was once a time when I was going to move out there for this job, and I'm glad I didn't, I must say.
That would have been a mistake.
Jay, Downtown Jay, friend of the show.
You wanted to downtown with him?
Yeah. I'm going to go downtown with Downtown Jay.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet him.
That's got to be a selfie you got to post then.
Yeah, with Downtown Jay. I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited to meet everyone.
You're going to have to be on a step, though. Downtown Jay's a tall dude.
Yeah. We already met him. Yeah. Took him to Pasta Amore. He's honestly, like, he's the only guy from Nation Network that I've actually met. So it'll be fun. I get to go meet Tyler, the podcast guy, Tyler Yaramchuk, Zach Lang, good follow on Twitter, the news guy at Nation Network. Maybe I'll even get to meet Carolyn, new hire there. I think Saravalli's still in Philly, so I don't think I'll... Yeah, he doesn't work out of office. Don't think I'll get to meet him in person just yet. But I'm very excited to go meet everybody at the team.
Yeah, it's good. It'll be exciting, a little trip. And, you know, please document it. I'm sure we'll have it on the,
vlog,
on the Instagrams, maybe.
Vlog,
some stories
maybe?
Here and there. You don't see a lot of Instagram stories from you, by the way.
Yeah.
No. Something you're not big on, are you?
No. I posted one the other
you
night.
You young kids, you're all Snapchatting.
Snapchat.
That's what you guys are all on.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing to me. You guys chat on Snap. Because I hate that. I'll send a message to someone. They'll answer 4 hours later. I'll be like, what did I say? I don't even know what I said to them.
I've got ours set so that it deletes after 24 hours. So that doesn't happen to us.
Well, I'll send mine. It will be gone within 4 hours. I don't understand Snapchat.
Not mine.
Chat.
Not when you chat with me. You can change that. Okay. I've changed it.
Do
in
that
our
on my phone after. I'm the old man here. Needs a young guy to fix my phone.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, I don't think there's much else for us to dive into aside from, you're going to be gone all of next week.
Yep.
So I've got some things I'm working on right now for next week episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. I already have a co-host planned for one episode and working on a couple of other interviews for the show as well, which should be a lot of fun if these interviews come to fruition. So I think we'll wrap it up there. For my co-host, David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber, and thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.